Wow, wow, wow. What do you think about the progress up here? That is amazing. That is amazing. We are really excited about the progress that is happening next door in our new facility. And I cannot believe the lightning speed. I believe we're going to have a Christmas present, y'all. I mean, I'm just saying. My son just said something to me a moment ago and said, Dad, if you want to go back and highlight any of that, because we're really excited about it. He said, I'm ready for you. We can do that. Okay, throw that back up there again, if you would, son. Look at this. This is fantastic. This area here, for those of you that maybe haven't been over there and kind of peeked in the door, this area here that's kind of got a lot of stuff in it, that's going to be our worship area. There's a pass through there to the kitchen. Already got the cabinets coming already in. And look at that, countertops there. And that's looking back through. That's the window out. Yeah, isn't that something? That's something. We peeked in there. Look, and if you notice, there's power in there. There's lights in the building, y'all. We really got excited. We ran in there, and we looked around and poked around. And then some truck drove up as we were in there and looking around. And they were outside, and next thing we know, the power was off. So we got a little window in here before they turned the power off on us. But it's amazing. Four classrooms there on your right, it's just absolute. There's one of the classrooms, and each classroom has a door outside, and each classroom is plumb for having a sink in every classroom. So it's just going to be amazing what we can do with that. And so, did you get any pictures of the floor in the kitchen? There you go. I don't know if you could see that, but there's like an upgraded type of tile. Looks like wood floors. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you just thank God for that? Isn't that awesome? So we're just thanking God for that. I delayed welcoming our online campus for a reason. Someone was just responding to Kim saying, are we live yet? I want to connect. And it was one of our former Cross Point members from Texas. I want to give a shout out here to Dawn Sharp. Good to have you with us, Dawn. Yeah. And we want to say a heartfelt welcome to all those that are joining us online right now from wherever you are, out of the state, out of country. It's amazing how God's using technology that we can just and connect with people and see lives changed through this technology as we just sow the word of God, not only in this building, but beyond. And so we're to welcome you today. I want to welcome you to part two of a two-part series that we've entitled Legacy. And as we discussed last week, there are different seasons that we look at as we bring messages to the church. And this season that we're in, we're going into Thanksgiving, into Christmas season, and it's a season of giving. And I don't know how you look at the season. You may look at it as an opportunity for me to receive and get what I want for Christmas. You may have your list made out, but really we need to orient ourselves to think about it as a season of giving and understand really what that means as a church. As I have pointed out before, there's some basic things that we do as a church, and I don't think I can remind us of this enough. We need to remember why we're here. We talked about last week, if we don't remember our why, we'll lose our way. And so we need to remember why we are here as a church. And so, because if we're not careful, it becomes not about others, but it becomes about us. And I have to do that myself, because we're all oriented to take care of ourselves. And so we have to be reminded that we are here not just for ourselves. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for others. Now, if you haven't crossed that line of faith yet, it is all about you. But once you cross that line of faith, it then becomes about you reaching that next person and bringing them into that relationship with a living and loving God. And so I just want to mention again the things that we focus on here as a church. The first thing we focus on is that people come to know God. It all starts there. I remember I'm a Florida State guy. I can say that today because we got a win, 77-6. Yeah, that's a win. Yeah, it was against Delahoo, but anyway, it was against Delaware. Who's Delaware? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It was homecoming. We got a team we could beat for homecoming. That was good. But I remember Bobby Bowden years ago. I went to a group of guys had a conference. It was about 900 men there, and Bobby Bowden was speaking, and he loved ball. He loved ball so much, he said, God, I'll serve you if you'll just let me play ball. And he talked about baseball, and he said, now, boys, and he talked to us like we were in his locker room. He said, now, boys, let me tell you how this works. He said, if you go around all the bases and you slide in home, but you miss first base, it doesn't count. And he said, and if you go through life and you miss Jesus Christ, it doesn't count. And he's the big one. It's not about winning the national championship or the Super Bowl. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the big win. Amen. And so we begin there, and that is that we want people to know God, have a personal, real, authentic, wonderful, life-giving relationship with the loving God. And the second thing we want people to do is not only know God, but then to find freedom. So that once you come into this relationship, there's some unpacking to do, and we're involved in that. And God takes us through a process, and he involves other people in that process. And that's why we do small groups around here, so that we can get in relationship, and iron sharpens iron, and we help one another, and we pray over one another, and we talk, and we work through issues so that you can settle your yesterday so that you can have a tomorrow. Amen? We still got this, right? We're going to know God. We want to find freedom. And then once you find freedom and you've gotten free now, you discover I'm not what yesterday said I was, but now who am I? We want you to discover who you are in the Lord. So we want people to discover their purpose. So we want people to know God, find freedom, and discover purpose. And for that, we offer the growth track, a process, a catalyst through which we take people to help them discover why they were created in the first place, and how they were wired, how God designed them, help them discover their purpose. And that's a life changer when you can discover why you're here. And then when you discover why you're here, we want to get you on a team making a difference. And that's where the greatest fun really is discovered, is when you're making a difference in another life, when God is using your life to matter, when you're investing in someone else. And so as we look at those four things, and we talk about those four things throughout the year, this series, this little small two-part series, is really focusing on that final thing of making a difference. And so the goal of life really isn't to live forever on this earth as we know it now, but rather the goal of life is to leave something that lives on once we're gone. And that's a legacy. We gave you that definition last week that simply means what people remember once you're gone. Right? And you've got some blank notes there in your worship guide. And if you want to kind of jot some of these things down, we don't have to fill in the blank. Those will be coming back. But kind of jot some of this down if you didn't get this last week. And be sure and, you know, process this with me. So, in other words, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. That's what that means. Okay. But we want to live a life that matters once we're gone. And I've had this word that keeps coming up in my spirit, and that is the word opportunity. God gives us opportunities every day. God gives us opportunities to make a difference with our life. And so we are looking for opportunities. And I want to mention right up front an opportunity that we're going to have here, a practical way to make a difference. It's going to be on December the 10th. It's we're going to give you an opportunity to invest in a legacy offering. So it's going to be something above beyond your tithes and your offerings. Now, God knows we need certain things, of course. Money, you know, ministry takes money. We all get that. But I want to tell you something. By faith, we're going to receive an offering it's going to go outside these walls. Okay, everybody? Anybody excited about that? See, I'm not excited about just maintaining ministry. I want to make a difference in the world. I want to make a difference in our community. I want to make a difference. Amen? And so I want you to mark that down. And I tell you that ahead of time so it's not something where you're manipulated or coerced, but rather it's something that you can plan for and you can pray about what God would have you to do. You see, all of us are leaving a legacy, whether good or bad. Let me give you this scripture. I gave this to you as we unpacked this last week, but Psalm 112 says this: good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. So it's not just about your money. It's not about that. It's about how you live your life. There are people that are givers and there are people that are takers. How are you wired? So how are you living your life? So how you conduct your affairs? Are you a generous person or are you a taking person? And it goes on to say, surely that one that's generous, he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. There might be a lot of things that shift around you, but you're still going to be standing, that kind of person. That's what the Bible says about that. And so we want to live our life to leave something that continues to live on. And so we do that through different ways. We do that through finances, yes. We do that through our time. We do it through talents. We do it through missions. We do it through missions trip. There was some conversation even this morning about planning a mission trip possibly to Africa. And so we do that through serving. We do that through investing in our community, through caring for others. We do that through helping people. We do that by finding a need and feeling it. We do it by finding a hurt and healing it. We pray first, and then we put others first. Amen? And so we want to impact a life. When we do all this, when we invest in these ways and we're generous this way, we will impact a life for eternity, and that's really what it's all about. So our gift, our giving, our serving, our sacrifice, our caring for others, when we make all that a priority, we impact eternity. And so here's what we do. We pray. We pray. It all begins with that. We pray. And we ask Jesus, how do you want me to be a part of this? And then the second thing we do, not only do we pray, but we plan. And so what can we do? What can we push back from? What is something we can push back from so that we can sacrifice something for the sake of the gospel to make a difference? And then we, most importantly, we participate, right? We participate. And it's important that we participate in what God is doing. I want to share with you this morning, and this is a fairly simple message, but I want to share with you a New Testament story that gives us a window into what it really means to be generous. So we're talking about today in this installment of Legacy about extravagant love. I want to give you an example of extravagant love. And this story is recorded in the Gospel of John. It's also recorded in the Gospel of Mark, and it gives us a little more detail, so I'm going to pull from both of those. But I want you to look with me in John chapter 12, and this is what it says. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now, get this. Jesus goes in his house. Lazarus was there. He was raised from the dead. Y'all get that? We kind of read stuff sometimes just like it's a story and it just kind of lays there. We know that. That's familiar. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, okay, y'all? Come on. And Jesus raised him from the dead. He's in the house. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. And Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. When you're a guy that's been raised from the dead, you can recline wherever you want to recline. You can do whatever you want to do, okay? I mean, raised from the dead. Look what it goes on to say. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Let me just kind of pause right there. Jesus was a guy that was very sociable. Here he was at a dinner event. He was out among people. You know, I don't know what we think when we think of Jesus, but he was a guy who enjoyed relationships. See, I think it's important how we see Jesus, because how we see Jesus, how we view Jesus, is going to determine what kind of relationship we have with him, you know. And I think I heard someone describe it this way, you know, that, you know, with Jesus was that we look at him, and I don't know how you were raised and how you thought or viewed Jesus, but some of us think he never smiled. You know, he just walked around in very, you know, just, those that are in the band, he was doing the glide step. You know, he would just glide everywhere he went. You know, he would just sit there and pull a dub out of his pocket. Poof. You know, he would just sit back in this glow of, you know, just kind of just aura and speak, and it would resonate. You know, I mean, that's, you know, we think that Jesus was a very real person that loved to be around other people, that even got criticized for going to people's house that people thought he shouldn't be hanging around, because Jesus enjoyed relationship. I just want us to establish the setting here, okay? And in this setting, Mary did something very unusual. She took this expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet. And the house, it says, was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It filled the room. There was no escaping it. Everybody noticed it. It changed the whole smell of things. It changed the entire atmosphere. What she did totally changed. It made a difference in the room. There was no escaping it. And look at what goes on to happen. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, you know, Judas Iscariot, he was one of his disciples, who was later to betray him, objected. And here they were having this wonderful event, this wonderful atmosphere, this wonderful aroma, and Judas steps into the scene and he says, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor?" Can't you? I mean, you just got to imagine. That's kind of the way he talked. You know, you just got to. And then he says, "It's worth a year's wages." I'm so holy. I'm so right on this. This is impractical. Look at the next verse. And they give him up here. He says, he did not say this because he cared about the poor. He thought he was some humanitarian wanting to do something for a noble cause. Oh, no. That's not what Jesus was doing. But because he was a thief and he was a keeper of the money bag. And look at this. He used to help himself to what was put in it. He was passing the plate, and he had his hand in the plate. He was a thief. Talking about misappropriating funds for his own self-gain, to help himself. That was his motivation. He was stealing. And notice what happens there. Look with me in Mark chapter 14. Instead of Jesus just being over in, you know, in his holy glow, you know, area where everyone was just coming by just to, you know, Jesus, look at this, interjects himself into the conversation. And I love it. He blew him out of the water. And he says to him, "Leave her alone." Hey, buddy. Leave her alone. And Jesus said, "Why are you bothering her?" And notice, he says, "She has done a beautiful thing to me." I just love this. You see, she stepped out of maybe what was the norm and did something exceptional. She demonstrated exceptional love for her Lord. And what happened when she did that was the Master stood up. He stood up for her. Come on. We need somebody at times to stand up for us, don't we? He stood up for her. See, Jesus looks at Judas, and he sees he senses a betrayal aroma, and he looks at her, and he discovers a beautiful aroma, and he says, "I'm siding with her." Think about it, right? And then look what he goes on to say. "The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me." But she did what she could. She took what she had, and she did what she could. And boy, it was extravagant. And it reminds me of us as a church. We do what we can. What has God called you to do? What opportunities has God given you to demonstrate extravagant love for the Master, right? What can we do? We do what we can. I think it's so beautiful. And look what it goes on to say. "She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial." Truly, now, let me just get back to that verse for just a moment. Think about this. Generosity will cause you to notice what other people don't notice. It'll open your eyes to see things that other people don't see. See, everybody was out, they're just navigating, doing their business, socializing, whatever, posturing, positioning, whatever. But yet she noticed something nobody else noticed, that Jesus, in a matter of hours, is about to be crucified. Jesus is talking about his death. Nobody seems to be noticing that, but she takes notice of it. And look at this. He says, she did what she could, but she poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. And look what it goes on to say. I love this. I love this. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. You're talking about a legacy. Jesus says, saying, look, Judas, you're going to forget about him. His story's not going to end too well. But this woman who was generous, not the taker, not the thief, but now the one that's generous and giving, that one, their life is going to live on. He said, as far as the gospel is preached, her story will be told. So anytime you tell this story, you're going to tell her story. It's a picture of extravagant love. And if you look at that story, I would think that we would say we want to be a part of that story. We want to give that, or we want to receive that. Love will cause you. Listen, love will cause you to do something. Love actually calls for response. That's what the gospel in a nutshell is all about. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He had to move. Many times in Scripture, you'll see where Jesus saw the needs of the multitude, and it says he was moved with compassion. I just love that phrase. He was moved with compassion, and then he healed the people. He cared for them. He loved them, and it demanded a response. And can I tell you, his love for us demands a response. And can I just back up and say, your need that you may have in your life, you may think it repels Jesus, but it doesn't repel Jesus. It actually moves Jesus to you. It actually gets him coming in your direction because of your need. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. That's exciting. You say, well, I'm so messed up, I don't know that God cares about me. Au contraire, it's quite the opposite. You're messed up, and because you're messed up, you've got his attention because you're his child, and he loves you, and he's moving with compassion towards you to demonstrate his extravagant love. In fact, the Bible says that's what he did. It says that while we were yet sinners, we were still a mess. God demonstrated his love to us when we were still in that state. That's powerful stuff. Amen. Amen. Can I just tell you, again, your need, causes you to run to him. Let me say that right. I'm getting ahead of myself. Your need causes him to run to you. That's what I'm trying to say there. He runs to you. He wants to be in relationship with you. Put it there this way. He is in love with you. In an extravagant kind of way. How extravagant? Well, pretty extravagant. He left the splendor of heaven to come to this earth, to suffer, be betrayed, be abandoned, be abused, be accused, falsely accused, everything that be rejected, everything that you and I will ever go through, he encountered that, and he took all of that and went to the cross, innocent of all. Sinless life. And yet he laid his life down on the cross. He took our place for us so that we wouldn't have to. Listen, hell's a place where you go to pay for your sins. Why would you want to do that when Jesus has already paid for your sins? You could pay, that's just a place you go to pay for it. But why would you go pay for that when it's already been paid for? He paid for it for you when he died on the cross for you. Amen. That's extravagant love. And the Bible says no one took his life from him. He laid it down. He had the power to lay his life down and the power to take it up again. That's extravagant love. Hey, and the story doesn't end there. It goes on. Because of his generosity, because of his giving, it goes on. God raised him up from the dead. And look, he's coming again. Amen? He's alive, and the story goes on. Amen? His love begs a response. It begs a response. And what do you do when someone does something amazing like that for you? When someone demonstrates extravagant love for you, have you ever had somebody demonstrate extravagant love for you and you didn't know what to do? You just cry, you know? Kim and I, we've been impacted by the ministry of another church who's helping us and encouraging us through just principles and things and coaching and networking and resources and helping us. And when we first encountered that kind of love and outpouring where we could just pick up the phone and somebody on the other end cared for us, I want to tell you, all I could know to do is just cry. and thanks seems to be so weak at a moment like that when you encountered something that just overwhelms you and you say thanks. But can I tell you, it needs to go from thanks. And when it's extravagant like that, it's not only just thanks, it's thankful. I'm full of thanks. So then you got to go from thanks to thankful, but then it calls for something else, and it's called thanksgiving. So in other words, it's not just saying, well, thanks. That's not enough. It's thanksgiving. So it means that freely you've received, so freely I want to give. So it's not just coming in and I'm hoarding it and taking it and soaking it up, but no, I'm a conduit. I'm receiving, and it's wonderful, but where it really feels good is not when it just comes and sits and soaks and sours, but when it comes in and it's coming into you and you're full and now it's flowing out from you and then there's a river flowing through you. That's when it's, come on. That's what Thanksgiving is really all about. It's not just saying thanks. Thanks. You know, sometimes I think we forget what Thanksgiving is about. When in America, when Thanksgiving was originally established, it was established to give thanks to God. And we sometimes forget that part. We just say, thanks, we're thankful, we're thankful. Yeah, we got a lot thankful. Thankful, okay, that's not enough. Thankful to God. And so we give thanks to God. But there's some practical ways that we can give thanks to God. When you're in love, when there's extravagant love that comes your way, you want to respond in some way. When you're in love, you want to respond in some kind of way that's not just saying, well, okay, you love me. Okay, great. All right, that's good. All right. No, when you're in love, I remember when Kim and I, come on now, she's in the house. She's today, so she's not tending the kids in there. Crosspoint, in our nursery, she's here, so I get to embarrass her on the front row. But Kim and I, when we first started dating, you know, I'm just telling you, it was on. I mean, I called her. I was in Tallahassee, attending Florida State University, and I called her up. I said, do you want to go see Boots Randolph? Y'all don't even know who Boots Randolph was. She said, who? And I still went out with her. You know, and didn't get the Boots Randolph as a saxophonist. Okay, I played saxophone. I wanted to go see Boots Randolph coming to Charlotte. We didn't get to that. But what we did get to go to, we went to see Romancing the Stone. Now, y'all don't remember, that was 1984. Okay. Romancing the Stone came out, and her middle name was Dawn. It was Kimberly Dawn Collins. And so I said, I'm romancing the Dawn, y'all. I was romancing the Dawn. We went to Romancing the Stone, and see, Dwayne and Karen Stone, y'all should have went and saw Romancing the Stone. But anyway, so I went to see Romancing the Stone, and I was romancing the Dome. And we went to Daryl's afterwards, and, you know, I mean, to tell you, I wrote letters from, y'all, all right, y'all don't know what letters are, y'all know what, it was predates email and text and all that stuff. We had letters, you know, put in the mail, and I never wrote letters, but, buddy, I wrote a letter every day, and I'm like, and I would address it, Lady Dawn, Princess Dawn, my love. I mean, I don't know what the mailman thought, man. I mean, I was sending him all kind of descriptions, you know. I mean, you know, come on. We were dating, and we would buy each other gifts. Y'all remember the Precious Moment gifts, Precious Moment figurines? You know, I didn't have any money, but I was spending it. Come on, I was going to, and I'd buy those Precious Moments, and we'd buy them for each other. And one time we were out on a date, and she had a gift for me, and I had a gift for her. I don't know if it was Valentine's Day or what it was. And so we open it up, and it's the same figurine. Come on, that's confirmation. That's love. It was a little boy sitting on a seesaw. You know, one was up, one was down like that. And it was titled, Love Lifted Me. Anyway, come on. I'm just saying, when you're in love, you're going to demonstrate. That's what this woman, that's what Mary did. She demonstrated extravagant love. And think about it. That was described as a year's worth of wages. But she made a decision as to what she was going to do. Can I tell you, let me just back up to my story here for just a moment. Indulge me. It doesn't stop there with me and Kim. It just end there. I'm still demonstrating extravagant love. She's still demonstrating extravagant love for me. Even last night, I was watching a Hallmark movie. My son walked in the room and said, Dad, where's your wallet? Something's missing from your wallet. I said, what are you talking about? I opened up my wallet. There's nothing missing from my wallet. He said, Dad, your man card, it's not in your wallet. I'm just telling you right now. That was last night. Come on, it's extravagant love when you're sitting there watching a Hallmark movie. Come on now, guys. Okay, all the guys, my evaluation just went, shoop, okay. Are we having fun or what? Okay. But she had extravagant love. Why did she have extravagant? Because, listen, she released what she had because she gave what was costly. And look what happened. It changed the atmosphere. It changed from a bitter atmosphere to a beautiful aroma through her serving and through her loving. And that's what we do when we give and when we sacrifice. That's what we do when we make a difference in our community. That's what we do when we go and we serve in the College Downs community. When we go across the street on the campus and we serve ice cream to the marching band, the Pride of Niner Nation marching band. Right, Josh? Come on. I mean, and those guys, you know, they're tired and they're sweaty, but you hand them an ice cream and it changes. Come on. You say, well, it's just ice cream. Listen, take what you have and do what God's given you to do. Come on, get in the community. Change the atmosphere. Go where there's bitterness and where there's hate and where there's poverty and where there's pain and pour out some love through some sacrifice and give all you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go into the community and see the community change and the city change through outreach, through making a difference, through giving, through changing people's lives. That's what Mary did. It was extravagant love. And here's the reason. She made some choices. She made some intentional choices about her gift. She made some choices. Not only did she make some choices, Judas made some choices as well. Let me give you some description of the choices that he made. First of all, he chose to be a controller. He was a controller. Can I tell you cannot control everything? You can't control everything. If you control everything, guess what? The story stops right there. The giving stops right there when you're in control of everything. Not only was he a controller, he was a complainer. He was a complainer. One gospel records that they just begin to talk about it. Well, yeah, well, you know, she shouldn't. I mean, we could have think of what we could have done with that money. We could have, you know, I just can't plan. And they start, it's called murmuring and complaining. It's what she did. See, he was a complainer. Another thing, we see that he was a consumer. He was just selfish. I want it. He was a consumer. And Judas's story ended tragically. His story doesn't live on. But Mary made some good decisions, and her story continues to this day. Here we are in 2017. We're still talking about her good choices. Look, write this one down. She was caring. She was caring. Again, she noticed things that others don't. Again, Jesus was dying, was about to die, and lay down his life. And while others were navigating, she could hear the voice of God. She could see what was going on. Listen, I'm telling you again, I want to say this again. Write this one down. Generosity opens up the voice of God. In fact, I believe God looks for people who are generous and are giving. Because God doesn't just want us to bless us, to bless us. He wants to bless us to be a blessing. Amen? And honestly, I think sometimes we get so focused on the blessing instead of the blesser. Come on, blessing is one thing. Blesser, that's an infinity. right? We get focused on the means instead of the source. He's the source, and there's no end to his supply. Isn't that great? He'll bless you. And if you know, we look at that verse that he'll meet all of our needs according to his abundant supply. If you look at the context of that, it's talking about those that are giving, generous people. There are those people. He'll meet your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen? So she was caring. She noticed. She cared about Jesus. She knew what was of value. Next thing you see is that she was a contributor. She was a contributor. She released what she had, what was in the box. She opened that alabaster box. She released it. And when she did this, Jesus did something. He stood up for her. And it reminds me of a verse that says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. That's powerful. That's powerful. Think about it. So she did something. Her time, her treasure, her touch, her resources, her worship. And Jesus stood up. I'm assuming he stood up. He spoke up. I'll tell you another one time we know that he stood up was when Stephen was being stoned. Remember that? The heavens opened, and he got a glimpse of Jesus, and the Bible describes it that Jesus was standing. He's usually seated. He was standing at the right hand of the Father. He stood up, and he took notice. Listen, we need the Lord to do that for us. Don't you? Do you have some areas of your life where it seems like it's being attacked and everything's going wrong and everything's maybe falling apart and it seems like the enemy's coming in this way and that way? And you know what you need? You need the Lord just to stand up for you. We need the Lord to stand. And guess what? He does. In fact, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says that when we tithe, when we give, when we put him first, when we make him our first priority, which that's what salvation really is. It's reordering your life to reflect that he's number one. When you put him first, when you give your tithes, the Bible says that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Praise God. He'll say, leave her alone, Judas. Come on. That's what we need to happen in our life. He'll stand up for us. He stood up, and her story lives on. It's a legacy that lives on. Loving is always giving. It really is. Loving is always giving. It's not just, I love you, you know it, I ain't going to say it, you already know it, I told you 30 years ago, I don't need to tell you again. Love is always giving. See, lust is selfish taking. So love is always giving. It's not just, lust is taking, selfish, what's in it for me? Love is always thinking and caring for other people. It's about someone else. When I look around this church, I think about it. I mean, I am not interested in pastoring a church of people that just want to come sit, soak, and sour. I am not interested in a church that says, just let's have our holy meeting on Sunday behind these four walls and be holy, oh, and go home, roast beef, you know, everything's the same, you know, and nothing changes. No, I'm telling you, I am not interested in pastoring a church like that. I am interested in pastoring the kind of church we've got, which is not just about these walls. In fact, this building isn't even holy. You're holy. You are the church. And the church is wherever you go, and it's outside these walls, and everywhere we go, it's serving. It's serving in our community. Come on, it's being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's serving on Serve Day. It's the opportunities we have with this community. It's picking up trash, come on, through our community. It's helping clean up somebody's yard. It's helping somebody paint their house, repair a porch, serve some water on a greenway. Jesus, well, it's just water. Jesus said, if you serve a glass of water in my name, there's going to be a great reward for it. Come on, there's ice cream across the street. There's feeding the hungry. There's taking care of the mothers at the Ronald McDonald House. There's giving to missionaries of in places that we don't even know in Africa and India and Sri Lanka and Haiti and Central America. I'm thinking of places that this church has reached out to that we don't even know of, in nursing homes where we take the worship team and go over and sing songs. Yeah, we sing the hymns that they like to hear. Come on. And we do, and we just do ministry, and we care for people, and we go to the hospital when we face pain a child's face. Come on. And give them some candy in the fall time. Come on, and we make a difference. And when we do that, let me tell you, the story continues. You bless a life, and it blesses another life, and it continues. I have a dream of a church, come on, that's making a difference in this world. A church that where we bring people into a relationship where they can know God, where they can find freedom, where they can discover their purpose, and then we together get on a team and make a difference impacting the world for eternity. And for all accomplished, Jesus gets all the credit. He gets all the glory because it's all about Him. It's all about being in a love relationship with Him and connecting other people in that love relationship with Him. So I have a challenge for you. I want to give you a couple scriptures. And I'm pulling this from Ephesians because it's just, and I'm bringing this from the Message version, which is real, this makes it real plain. I love the words of this. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, watch what God does, and then you do it. I love it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ's love does. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. Don't you love it? That's the challenge. And then I offer not only a challenge, but I offer in closing a call. A call. It's found in Joel chapter 2, verse 13. I'll give you this also in the Message. Change your life, not just your clothes. We just got through doing the masquerade series, right? We just kind of want to put something on the front. No. Jesus comes to change you from the inside out. Come back to God, your God, and here's why. God is kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot, and I can underline that and say, yes, Lord, you put up a lot with me. I don't call it patience. I call it long-suffering, you know. He suffers long with me. But He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant in love. Look at this. Look at this. Always ready to counsel catastrophe. Would you bow your heads with me? The greatest gift of thanks to God is to give your life to Him. To give Him your life. It's the greatest gift of thanks. Jesus, I thank You for Your extravagant love. That You went to the cross. Father, thank You for giving heaven's most treasured jewel. Somehow, miraculously, You felt we were worth it. That's why we call it amazing love, amazing. It's amazing grace. Unmerited favor, nothing we can do to deserve it or earn it. It's a standalone, God. It's what You did for us, and all we do is simply, by faith, receive it. Thank You, God. Thank You. We're so thankful. But God, we want to offer thanksgiving by giving You our life. You gave Your all for us. May we give our all for You. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you've drifted from God. Maybe you've not really ever had the right kind of relationship with God for whatever reason. I offer this call. That's come back to God. Come to Him because He's kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath and puts up with a lot. He gives us His extravagant love, but He's always ready to counsel catastrophes. And I don't know whether you describe your situation as a catastrophe or not, but if you're without Jesus, it is, and you just don't know it. Because there's another one that has an agenda on your life. for destruction, but God has a plan for your life, for beauty and purpose, and He offers you life eternal. So here's what I like to do. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If it's you today and you say, yeah, I need that right relationship with Him. I need to set things right. Maybe it wasn't intentional, but somehow or other with life, you've just drifted. You know you're not in right relationship with Him. So I'd like to help you change all that. And all it is one prayer away from everything changing and setting your course right this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. Here's the way we do it. We don't have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. But right where you're seated, while heads are bowed, I just want to, right where you're seated, lead you in a prayer. If that's you today, and you say, Pastor, when you pray, would you just count me in that prayer? My heads are bowed. If you just slip up a hand, I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. Yes, good job. Proud of you. Yes, good job. Yes, yes. If you're watching online, join us. That's you. Join us. Pray this prayer with us. Come on, everybody. Let's pray this prayer. All you've got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. Simply pray something like this. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, for giving your life for me, so that I could experience what true living is all about. Forgive me for going my way. Today I turn and follow you and open my life and my heart to you. I invite you to come in. Thank you for giving your life for me. Now I invite you to come in. And today, come on, say this, I give you my life. And with all my heart, I will follow you as you help me in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. God, I pray for them. Today is a new day. I celebrate with them. It's a new beginning. God, you have made them now brand new on the inside. And you are now Lord. You are now Master. And we're so thankful. Bless them, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bless this church. Calls us to be light and salt. Calls us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Calls us to make a difference, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you for it. And we'll give you all the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.